Hello, and welcome to the March 8th episode of Investing Beyond Borders, a podcast from Miranda Law Firm that brings you regular insight on investment opportunities and legal and regulatory updates from throughout the Miranda Alliance world. This week, we bring you news on energy transition projects in Angola, Cape Verde, Mozambique, São Tomé, and Senegal, the commencement of LNG exports in the Republic of Congo, the accession of Timor-Leste to the World Trade Organization, and other major developments in our jurisdictions. Sit back, relax, and enjoy Investing Beyond Borders. Vassal, the floor is yours.
We start this week's episode with news on the upcoming African Energy Bank. The host country for the headquarters of the Pan-African Institution will be revealed this month, with the multi-billion bank set to start operating before June, led by the African Petroleum Producers Organization and the multilateral financial institution, the African Export-Import Bank. The African Energy Bank will provide financing to promote the development of African oil and gas projects. The bank's capitalization will amount to $5 billion from contributions of $83 million from each of the 18 African Petroleum Producers Organization member states. The world's leading international oil companies have recently reaffirmed their commitment to African oil and gas. Speaking in Nigeria, high-level representatives from TotalEnergies, Shell, and Chevron all confirmed multi-million dollar investment projects in the pipeline, ranging from pushing ahead with frontier exploration to supplying gas to mature markets. TotalEnergies will continue to prioritize integrated energy projects that span the entire value chain, focusing on improving connectivity and distribution to local and regional markets, while British multinational Shell is focusing on frontier markets like Namibia. In more mature markets, the company is focusing on its gas and deep water assets, as well as exploring new technologies to reduce operational costs and improve competitiveness. Finally, American multinational Chevron is working towards mutually beneficial partnerships with African stakeholders to facilitate knowledge and technology exchange, accelerate resource development, and empower local service providers. Angola and the United Nations announced a new cooperation framework worth $971 million. The cooperation framework for sustainable development for the period 2024-2028, which aims for an inclusive and participatory collaboration by both parties, addresses four areas of intervention, namely human development, democratic governance and human rights, economic diversification and food systems, and climate resilience and sustainable management of natural resources. In an effort to support electrification and diversify the country's energy mix, Angola is planning to reach an installed capacity of 9 gigawatts by 2027, with the conclusion of the Kakulu-Kabasa hydroelectric power station, which is currently under construction. According to the government, the country's energy transition has reached a total installed capacity of 6.3 gigawatts in recent years, with the recent conclusion of the construction of the Lauka Dam. Also playing an important role in Angola electrification efforts are the solar projects being currently developed. These include the 150-megawatt solar project to be developed by Masdar, the 26.906-megawatt Luena Solar Energy Park, the 50-megawatt Karakulu project in Namibe province, inaugurated by a consortium comprising Sonangol and international energy company Azul Energy last year, and the 188-megawatt Biopo solar plant, and finally the 96-megawatt Bayafarta solar plant developed by MCA Group. Furthermore, Angola's Ministry of Finance secured $1.44 billion in financing from multinational bank Standard Chartered in July 2023 to fund the deployment of 48 solar PV systems nationwide. And Angola's Ministry of Energy and Water and the U.S. Export-Import Bank signed an agreement for the provision of $900 million in funding to support the implementation of the Angola Solar Energy Project. In Cape Verde, the government has expressed its commitment to the country's privatizations agenda, which foresees the privatization of 9 state companies by the end of the first half of 2025. These privatizations are seen as key tools for boosting the transformation of the most varied sectors of activity in the country by attracting private investment with extensive experience, capacity for innovation, and access to significant and attractive funding sources. The agenda took off with CV Handling's privatization process launched last month, and will continue with the privatization of port management company Enapor, whose process is being prepared and is entering its final phase. While in Portugal at the Lisbon Tourism Exchange, Cape Verde's Prime Minister Ulisses Correia e Silva expressed that the country is open to Portuguese investment, particularly in the tourism sector, citing governance indicators and macroeconomic stability as a major advantage for those looking for an investment destination in Africa. The head of the executive invited leading tourist groups to invest in Cape Verde in order to increase the capacity on offer, assuring that other areas related to tourism, such as transport, are currently being developed and that low-cost transportation will soon be a reality in the country. The Prime Minister further announced that the government is finalizing preparations for the Climate and Environment Fund, with projects relating to renewable energy and water management already outlined. According to the Prime Minister, the projects are at an advanced stage, especially in the area of renewable energies, with the aim of increasing sustainable energy production capacity in Cape Verde. In Equatorial Guinea, the Senate approved the cooperation agreement on the exploitation of transboundary oil and gas signed in Yaoundé in October 2022 between the Republic of Equatorial Guinea and the Republic of Cameroon. The agreement's goal is to consolidate economic bilateral relations, institutional cooperation, as well as collaboration in the joint exploitation of oil and gas fields in the border areas shared by both states, which would favor the creation of jobs and growth at a socio-economic level in Equatorial Guinea. According to Deloitte's Africa Energy Outlook 2024 Mozambique Special Report, Mozambique could be the future energy hub and worth 20% of Africa's energy production by 2040 due to the country's vast gas reserves, which could place Mozambique in the world's top 10 producers. The report also points out that the entire sector is expanding, covering a diverse range of renewable energies such as biomass, hydro, solar, and wind. Besides having the largest reserves of natural gas in sub-Saharan Africa, estimated at 180 billion cubic feet, Mozambique is also home to one of the largest coal reserves in the world. The country also holds an enormous hydroelectric potential, estimated at 12.500 megawatts, one of the largest in Africa. When it comes to solar and wind power, these are expected to account for 20% of the country's energy mix by 2040, with installed solar power capacity of 266 megawatts and wind power capacity of 40 megawatts by 2030. Additionally, Mozambique shows great potential for biomass production, estimated at 2 gigawatts, and is among the world's top 3 graphite producers, a material increasingly used in renewable energy technologies. The Mozambican government announced that the extension of the Maputo port concession for 25 years will bring more than $8 billion to the economy between rents, dividends, and direct taxes. The works to be carried out are expected to increase cargo handling capacity at the port, as well as increase the capacity of Matola Coal Terminal. The expansion should also create more than 1,000 direct jobs and 5,000 indirect jobs, contributing significantly to the country's socio-economic development. The $3 billion US dollar petroleum pipeline led by Coven Energy in collaboration with Zimbabwe's National Oil Company is awaiting Mozambique's approval. Substantial groundwork, including a $2 million investment in feasibility studies, has already been laid out. However, the project's fruition is contingent upon securing approvals from all participating nations, with Mozambique's green light being particularly critical. To that effect, an Interministerial Committee has been established, which will facilitate dialogue and coordination, underscoring the collaborative spirit driving this venture, which is a testament to the region's commitment to enhancing energy security and economic integration. The project could have a significant impact on Southern Africa's energy distribution networks, enhancing efficiency, reducing dependency on road transport, and potentially stabilizing fuel prices across the region. As part of the energy transition strategy approved last year, the Mozambican government intends to initiate the transport sector's decarbonization process by switching to gas and electric vehicles. Urban transport in Maputo will enter the process by 2030, with 15% of public transport replacing diesel with cleaner energy sources. By 2030, it is also expected that 1% of private road transport and 5% of road freight transport will be powered by the electricity grid. Regarding the decarbonization of rail transport, the executive's plan foresees a gradual transition from diesel to renewable energy starting by 2030, with the doubling and electrification of the line south of Cassano Garcia, the country's main border with South Africa. Portugal continues to show positive economic indicators as it lands fifth place in OECD's fastest-growing countries ranking. With a GDP variation of 2.3%, the Portuguese economy even surpassed the average of the EU and the Eurozone, both with a GDP variation of 0.5%, as well as having surpassed the 1.6% average of the OECD. In 2023, the Portuguese economy recorded an external surplus of 7.2 billion euros, equivalent to 2.7% of GDP. This ratio is the third highest in the series and the highest since 2013. In 2023, the goods and services accounts showed a positive balance of 3.3 billion euros, while the increase in exports surpassed the increase in imports in the services account. Regarding exports, the sectors that stood out the most were travel and transport services. The Democratic Republic of Congo is looking to unlock up to 5 billion of estimated oil reserves on top of the 180 million barrels of proven oil reserves in order to achieve energy security and GDP growth. The DRC is prioritizing collaboration with regional governments and stakeholders to attract investment and foster local content development. Besides the agreements signed with Angola, Equatorial Guinea, and Uganda, the DRC is also looking to strengthen collaboration with international partners such as Perenco and TotalEnergies to drive upstream investment. The Republic of Congo is inaugurating its first LNG carrier, paving the way for major gas exports. The launch of the country's first LNG carrier, part of the Congo LNG Signature Project, showcases Congo's firm commitment to exploiting its natural resources responsibly and moving towards a more sustainable, environmentally friendly economy. This first delivery of LNG is set to boost local electricity supplies and provides essential gas to other countries, marking a significant step forward in the country's energy sector. The project's LNG production will be boosted by the arrival of a second LNG vessel with a capacity of 3.5 billion cubic meters, currently under construction and due to go into production in 2024. This additional unit will be able to store over 180,000 cubic meters of LNG, which will be used to meet domestic demand. Intended to promote optimal exploitation of the Republic of Congo's abundant gas resources, estimated at 10 trillion cubic feet, and benefiting from a no-flaring technological approach, the total volume of LNG produced by the project will be marketed to international buyers by energy supermajor Eni. Sao Tome and Príncipe is securing $60 million from the African Development Bank in an effort to reform the country's energy system, with a particular focus on the production of renewable energy and the stability of the state electricity company. Around half of the $60 million is being spent on the energy sector, while the agriculture and entrepreneurship sectors will absorb the other half. In line with its energy goals, Sao Tome and Príncipe has announced the construction of of a new photovoltaic plant with a 10 megawatt capacity. The project, worth 60.7 million euros, is co-financed by the World Bank, the African Development Bank, and the Bank of Japan. The project is sure to radically change the country's energy sector by reducing the cost of electricity and should contribute to improving the business environment and attracting foreign direct investment. In Senegal, MCA Senegal 2 has signed a contract with Segelec and Vinci Energies Senegal to electrify 370 villages. The five-year rural energy project is expected to benefit around 220,000 Senegalese living in some 18,000 households. It will also contribute to the development of growth-generating sectors, rice in the Anambé area, cashew nuts in the Sédiou and Fatick regions, and bananas in the Tambacounda region. MCA Senegal comprises an investment grant of $550 million from the government of the United States of America, and an additional contribution of $50 million from the state of Senegal in a total investment of $600 million. After fast-tracking its way to the World Trade Organization, Timor-Leste recently signed the Protocol of Accession to the organization, a crucial step towards boosting economic reforms in Timor-Leste and which marks a significant advance in trade liberalization, insertion into the global economy, and facilitating access to international markets. With the formalization of the WTO accession treaty, Timor-Leste reaffirms its commitment to strengthening infrastructure, human capital, and administrative capacity with a view to accelerating economic growth and promoting the diversification of the economy. And according to the World Bank's semi-annual report, the institution predicts that economic growth in Timor-Leste will accelerate to 4.1% in 2024 and 2025 due to the easing of inflationary pressures and a stable fiscal outlook. The World Bank also believes that the budget increase in capital expenditure and investment in infrastructure established in the General State Budget for 2024 should further boost growth. Inflation is also predicted to decrease due to the moderation in world commodity prices and the stabilization of global food security conditions.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Investing Beyond Borders. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with more developments in the Miranda Alliance world. Please join us then for more news from the 16 Miranda Alliance jurisdictions. In the meantime, you can drop by our website or LinkedIn page, where you will find more updates on our activity and legal developments of interest to our clients and followers. This podcast was brought to you by Miranda Law Firm and Miranda Alliance. You can find out more about our worldwide activities and assistance to investors at www.mirandalawfirm.com. This episode was presented by Vincent Olivier from our Lisbon office and Luis Miranda from the Houston office. Content was developed exclusively for Miranda by the Miranda Alliance podcast team. Technical support is provided by Hugo Ribeiro from our communications department. All content is subject to copyright and protected by law.